tried and tried to figure out which one to start. Finally settled down on Luke. We are going to go through the Gospel of Luke. Probably take more than 3 weeks, I'm guessing. But we're now. Nah, I think it'll probably take more than 3 years. But the Gospel of Luke, it's different than the later books were. Are more now. See, I say that the Pauline epistles, they're more doctrinal. You get like Romans and you get to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All the you get some deep doctrine here. In Luke, there is doctrine. Don't let me tell you wrong here. There's a lot of very good doctrine in Luke, but it's a storyline. So I think it's going to go a lot quicker. Of course, I said that about Romans too, but it's a storyline, and it's the story of Jesus Christ. And so in it, what we see is an example of God's love and grace and mercy in action. So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to go through this, to preach out of Luke. As we're going through it, there's a few things we need to remember. Number one, Christ hadn't died yet. So they were still still working in the context of the law. Christ was still working in the context of the law, and yet his grace is very apparent. His love that he shows is very apparent in that the Pharisees, those who were so entrenched in the law and in the false or the religious system, opposed him so much. But we'll see all that. But in Luke comes at the life of Christ from a very distinct viewpoint. The writer himself, Luke, is never named in the book of Luke. In fact, he wrote Luke and he wrote the book of Acts. Both of them were addressed to Theophilus, a very distinct person, which we know very little about. There is conjecture of who he is. But Luke, it was a physician. We find that out from the rest of the New Testament. He's actually only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. Luke was very humble in his status, and you can see that throughout the book, and yet extremely intellectual. He was very precise in what he did, in how he wrote, because he had a very strong purpose. He wanted to teach accurately the life of Jesus Christ. He wanted to show accurately what had happened with Jesus Christ, which is why I believe God used him. He was probably a servant, a slave, that was given his freedom. He was a physician, which in those days, a physician was on the same line as a slave. In fact, many of the physicians that were there were slaves. They were trained, their owners, the hierarchy in society, you could say, thought that the work of a physician was much below them. So they would have their slaves be trained in that. And if they worked hard and if they did well enough, oftentimes they could earn their freedom. And that apparently is what had happened to him. Now we find a lot of this out because of the historians of the day. You have Josephus and Philo. You have the people that wrote about the history of that time era. So that's how we know a lot of this. Luke is not one that's presented a lot as far as throughout the New Testament because he was humble. Luke was the only Gentile that we have that was a writer of Scripture. He was not a Jew, apparently not even an eyewitness to a lot of what Christ had done. But he was a Gentile, which was odd in that he was one of the most prolific writers in Scripture. In fact, if you take Luke and Acts, put them together, you have roughly about a quarter of the whole New Testament. So he was very prolific in his writing. But Luke was an evangelist at heart, and we'll see that as we go through it. The book itself was written about 60 or 61 AD after Christ was born. So it was written right in that era, right before, sometime before Christ or before Paul died. It was written right in that era. Luke himself had traveled with Paul many times on missions trips. it has a lot of similarities. In fact, as we go through, you'll see similarities to Paul's writing. The purpose that he wrote is to accurately log the life of Christ and to show the work that he did. So remember the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were written about the life of Christ, about who Jesus Christ was, his example, what he did, how he lived, why he did what he did, all right? But they all come at it from a different viewpoint. Matthew, being a very staunch Jew and even a tax collector and one that had been totally turned around, wanted to show the hierarchy of Christ. So he preached Jesus Christ as the perfect king. And you see that all the way through the book. In Mark, he preaches Jesus Christ as the perfect servant. So he's always showing how Christ served, how what he did. Luke was a physician. He preached Jesus Christ as the perfect man, 100% man, that he was fully man, and yet John then comes at it from the viewpoint that he is fully God. Jesus is God. So there's the kind of the background viewpoints that is that they're trying to bring out in their Gospels. All of them give similar accounts. I mean, some are the same, some are different accounts of Christ's life. But all of them give accounts of Christ's life from the viewpoint of striving to show that he is the king, that he is a servant, that he is a man, that he is God. So we see that through the Gospels, through the accounts of the life of Christ. Luke has a very high view of the afflicted, of the lower people in society, and shows the universal love of God here. And he starts before his birth and goes even to his ascension. So it's a very complete book as we get into it. It's what we're going to find out. I want to get going on it. Luke chapter 1. I'm going to go through the first four verses today. Luke chapter 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out to you, for you, in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I pray that even in this introduction, Lord, we would see your glory. Father, that we would see a man's heart that you worked through. You inspired this man's heart. You inspired him to write an account that is accurate, that is telling, that has a purpose. So, Father, as we work through Luke, I pray that you would show us, Lord, what you have for us in the life of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Father, how you loved the world through his life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Luke here had a passion. But he was an historian. He was much a historian. As we come about this, look in verses 1 and 2. We see Luke as a historian. He says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of these things accomplished among us. When he says that, inasmuch as many have undertaken, he's actually, as you get into this, you're going to see this as we go through it especially, but even in these first four verses, he uses probably five or six medical terms. He's speaking in the, remember, the original language is the Greek that the Bible was written in. It was written in the Greek. It has been translated into tremendous amount of languages. But it is written in the Greek. And so as I study this, what I seek to do is I go to the Greek, I go through every word and take every word and define it, look at dictionaries or lexicons. We define each word, parse it all out, make sure I know what the word says, and then formulate the aspect of what he's trying to say, and then go to some commentaries maybe and you know, see what their interpretation is. But the aspect of drawing out the words exegetical, it means to draw out the truth from what's there. So that's what we're seeking to do. And Luke uses medical terms because of his background. Luke's very intellectual in his speaking. So in that day, this would have been seen as a very intellectual writing. But he uses a lot of medical terms, and we'll mention that as we go. But he says, inasmuch as many have undertaken, the word undertaken there means that they have done this, they have tried this, and have failed. They have taken it into hand. It's used frequently as a medical term, and it means it's a very difficult task, is what it implies, a very difficult task. And it implies that previous attempts have been made but failed. So he says, look, it's been tried. It's been gone over, he said, but we're going to do this, and we're going to do this as good as we possibly can. And he'll reiterate that as we go along. But it talks about the thoroughness. Look what it says. It says, have undertaken to compile an account, to compile means to organize it or to systematize it. So many have tried to organize or systematize the life of Christ. He says, we're going to do that in such a way that we're very detailed about it. And it's, again, a medical term. It means the account, it means a narrative or a thoroughness. And it was used for a medical treatise. So this is how this is going to go. He's talking very medically, oftentimes using those terms. But it's something which leads the reader through a mountain of facts to come to the conclusion. So it goes through all of the facts in his life. And what we're going to see, he uses many, many more examples than anyone else. He uses a lot of examples of the life of Christ and all of the facts that were there to show that he is the Savior. Luke was an evangelist, and he wanted to fully present the truth of God. But he says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile or to systematize all of the facts and draw them to the conclusion of the things accomplished among us. He doesn't say accomplished by us. He says accomplished among us. And the word, I believe the word accomplished means it's in the perfect tense. It's fully, completely accomplished among us. He's talking about the perfection of God, what he can do, what he has done in Jesus Christ. So Luke's heart is to take the history of this and put it all down. Look at verse 2. Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Just as they were handed down to us. Handed down the word indicates an oral tradition. So there were many who spoke of Jesus Christ. There wasn't very many who wrote about it at that point. Remember, Jesus had just come. He had died probably less than 30 years before this. So there was a lot of people who saw him growing up, a lot of people who knew him, a lot of people who followed. And we'll see that he's getting information not only from those who had seen him, but also from those who had followed him. Most likely the apostles. So he had garnished a lot of information from the beginning as they were handed down to us by those who were from the beginning of Christ's life, who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. This is where we understand Luke was probably not one of the apostles. He wasn't one of the apostles. He was a Gentile. And he wasn't there for everything. We understand that. But he's utilizing those around him who were. Now, what's interesting, you get to the end of verse 2. It says that these people who were handing this down, these people were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Two things. Wow. Two things. They were eyewitnesses and servants. This is the only time you get into the original language, it's kind of fun, all right? Because it's the only time that this word eyewitnesses was used in the New Testament. You say, well, wait a second. Because there's other times that you see and you read and it says eyewitnesses. But it's a completely different word. This specific word was a medical term. It was a medical term that it means, It means it's a personal examination of a disease. So what he's talking about is someone who had a personal examination, not just a cursory examination, but a very personal, in-depth examination of what's going on, of the life of Christ. This is where he's getting his information. So much so that the word itself is, in the original language, in the Greek, it is autopteia. We get our word autopsy from. This, our word is derived from the transliteration of autopteia. All right? So it's taking and going very in depth to figure out exactly what's going on. That's why we have that word. We've it's come from there. Derivative, I don't know how you say it. But anyway, it's come from there. But that word means something very particular. It means that it's to the point. It means it's an in-depth thing. So whoever he was talking to, all of the men that he was talking to, had an in-depth knowledge, and they went point by point by point. Remember, Luke is a physician. He's very detailed in this. So he's coming from the eyewitnesses and what? Eyewitnesses and servants of the word. The word servants is another medical term. It means an attendant of a personal physician. Different word than the rest of the New Testament. The word servant is doulos, and this is not the word doulos. It means an attendant to a personal physician. So the people he was getting it, the information from, was very close to Jesus Christ, so much so that they were eyewitnesses. They had dug into, and they were an attendant to, what it says here in verse 2, the word. The word here is the word logos. Oftentimes in Scripture, you have two words for the word in Scripture. One of them is logos, the other is rhema. Rhema is the spoken or the written word. The written word, all right? Logos is not only the spoken word, and it can have the derivative of this, God's word, but it also, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh." The Logos became flesh. So it's another name, or it's another word for Jesus Christ himself. So these people that he is getting this from, and he is digging deeply for this, they were eyewitnesses. They were one who dug deeply into Christ, and they were also an attendant of Christ. So we're talking about those who knew him well, and we're talking about those who followed him. And this is where Luke is getting this, and he garnished this over years and years because he wanted to do something very particular. So in verses 3 and 4, let's look at the passion, his passion here. It says, "It seems fitting for me," and by the way, that is the only time he refers to himself throughout the whole book. "It seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus." Says it seems fitting, and literally it means to think logically. It seems logical in this, after investigating it out. Investigating, the word investigating, again, is a medical term. And it's in the perfect tense, which means he has totally and completely investigated this, traced it out, having traced the course. It's a medical term because it means it's looking at a disease. He traces the course of the disease. That's the way the term is used. So he says, after I have traced out his life, after I have traced out how he lived and why he lived and what he has done, it seemed fitting for me, it seemed logical for me to go ahead and write this for you. To write in consecutive order. The word consecutive order means the highest or farthest point. The highest point or the farthest point that I can get to. That's what I want to get to. Accurately. tracing the smallest detail, one after the other. Remember, I don't remember whose ministry it was, but it was a precept ministry, where the precept upon precept, where you have a truth that you understand from Scripture, and you keep building on the truth. You go to 1 Peter, and he says, add to your faith this, and add to that this, and add to that this, and add to that this. It's just building one upon... That's our life. That's who we are as Christians. We're building one truth upon another. Does anyone here know all the truth of God? But every one of us have all the truth of God. Okay, we have it. And as we study, and as we learn, and as we dig, and as we know God, He reveals His heart for us. He reveals His truth to us. But that comes from living who He has made us. That comes from understanding Him. That's why it's so important for us to know God. Why? Because we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. How do we know He loved us? Because we know Him. We study who He is, who Jesus Christ is. And that's why, it's one of the reasons I wanted to go into Luke. To see again who Jesus Christ is. How He lived on this earth. He lived. He actually lived here on this earth. Fully doing His Father's will. Fully following His Father. Fully dependent upon His Father. Showing us God's love. So that's why, one of the reasons I wanted to do this. But he uses a medical term for this. But he says, it seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, or in a accurate order from the furthest or the highest point on down. Most excellent Theophilus. Now, both times in here and in Acts, he's writing to Theophilus. We don't know who he was exactly. Tradition says that he was his master before, when he sent him to learn about being a physician. He was the one that sent him. At some point, either Theophilus became a Christian, probably with Luke, or he was interested in knowing about Jesus Christ, because that's why Luke is writing this. He is writing this to give him all of the information he needs, to show him how much God loves him, to show him what God did on his behalf in sending Jesus Christ. So that's where we're at there. Now, here's what he wants to do. Look at verse 4. He says in verse 3, it's fitting for me to do this, investigate this, to write it to you in very systematic order. He says in verse 4, so that, or in order that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. So that you may know, and the word to know is, it's the word gnosko. Remember, and to know, we have oida, which is a perfect, total, inherent knowledge. Gnosko is a growing knowledge. It's like if you want to learn something, if you want to learn how to roof, then you have to learn how to do it. That's a growing, that's gnosko, right? It's a growing type knowledge. Other things are used of the perfect tense. This is not the perfect tense. This is a growing type knowledge, but it's got a preposition on it, on the front of it, which is epi. So it's above, it's a great knowledge, or it's a growing super knowledge. Okay? It's a heavy knowledge. He says, so that you may have the opportunity for this great knowledge, to know this, to experience this in a great way. Put it that way. So that you might have, it's in the tense that means it's a possibility. So that you might have this opportunity. That's why I think Theophilus was probably not a Christian. But he was very interested in knowing about Christ, because Luke was writing him a very detailed thing here. But he writes it so that he might have the opportunity of a supernatural knowledge. He might have the opportunity to experience something that is amazing, that is great. To know the exact truth. The word exact truth is with certainty or safety. It's steadfast, stability, security against error. to know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Now, the things, that's what's fun about this, because the word things there, logos, about the word that you have been taught, about Jesus Christ, who you have been taught. So at some point, he has learned about Christ. Whether he's trusted him or not, he has learned about him. So Luke, and I don't know, this is just, to me, it's fun to see his heart, because this is his heart. He wants to be very accurate in this. He wants to get every detail he can to prove that Jesus is the Christ, that the word is worth worshiping, that the word is worth knowing. And he's going to do this very systematically. And I haven't figured out yet whether we're going to start next week with Christmas in July. I haven't looked at it close enough. I might just skip that section and wait till Christmas and then go back and go over it. I don't know yet. But if there's something in there where we need to understand before we get to the next section, we might. But I like going verse by verse. You know that. I like going verse by verse all the way through. But this is going to be Christmas in July and August, I have a feeling. So I'm not for positive on that. But that's where he starts. He wants to start at the very beginning of even the announcement of Christ and go all the way to the ascension. Why? Because he wants to prove who Jesus Christ is. You see, that's his heart. That's his passion. So either Theophilus had questions or Luke had questions about his teaching. But as a physician, he's showing Christ to be fully man here. His goal is to write down the truth for all of us to have. Luke's gospel is very evangelistic. As we go through it, you'll see the life of Christ, because the life of Christ is very evangelistic. Why? Well, because what is evangelism? It's telling the good news. And what is the good news? Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he has done, how he has taken the sin of this world and put it upon himself. He became sin for us, so that we have the opportunity, we might become the righteousness of God in him. When we are in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. When we have salvation, we are the righteousness of God. Get that? My mind says, no way. I am not righteous. God says, when you are my child, you are righteous. Who's right? Not me. God's right. Why? Because he did the work. I didn't do the work. He does the work. And Luke is going to show us how he did the work. Luke is going to show us point by point, precept by precept, how Jesus Christ accomplished salvation on our behalf. So this book is going to be fun, folks. And it's going to be easier on you, because it's more of a storyline. So we'll probably get through more than two verses a week. Hopefully. Otherwise, it's going to take forever. But it's really neat the way that Luke draws out the fact that he's fully man and he has accomplished what God has put. He has done the work of salvation. In him is our salvation. He holds it as a perfect gift for us. So that's what we're going to see as we go through Luke. This is Luke's passion. This is his heart. To be accurate, to be detailed, to be exact, so that we can know we have eternal life. This is his heart. So be praying. As you read through this book, as you read ahead, be praying that we can draw out of here the heart of passion that Luke had for the life of Jesus Christ, and how that life has affected us, how that life has affected the world ever since he has come, died, and rose again. That's what's going to happen, hopefully. It's going to be fun. Let's pray.